It's that time again, friends. Welcome to another edition of This Week in Mormons. Great to be here, everybody, this week. What a wonderful week it's been. Oh, the joy.
Has it really, Jeff?
It has been
a wonderful week.
It has been again. It has been wondrous, like you would see in a hymn book, with the apostrophe, wondrous.
Please. Wondrous. Please. It's been a moderate to fair week, I'd say. Hardly wondrous.
How would you even know?
I don't know. I'm just trying to be argumentative. We felt like this show needed more spice. So I've been watching episodes of Cops.
Okay.
Las Vegas. I'm ready now.
You feeling okay?
No, you don't know me, Jeff. You don't know me. You come busting down my door, raiding my trailer. Think you know me? You can relate? Well, I got news for you, Dog the Bounty Hunter. You can't.
Whoa. Why is it? You can't switch over to Dog.
I've been watching a lot of TV. My favorite part of every Dog the Bounty Hunter episode is where he has like the heart-to-heart at the end with the guy, and he's like, listen, I've been there. Here, smoke one of my cigarettes. I'm going to give you one of these.
I've never.
The 12-year-old's like, I don't smoke. He's like, shush, baby, shush. Just smoke.
Okay, speaking of smoking baby, have you seen this 2-year-old kid who smokes?
Dude, that's the most depressing thing.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Dude,
I saw it every day when I was in Ukraine, man. These kids would wait by the trains and then pick up the cigarettes as people would throw them out to get on. And you're like, dude, you're 5.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But I mean, have you seen the videos? It's this Indonesian kid who like smokes like 3 packs a day, and he smokes them like it's a little 2-year-old. It's weird.
You know how you fix that? You don't give your 2-year-old cigarettes, parents.
That's generally advisable, but I'm gonna post the video up there with the thing because it's freaky, and he has the technique and everything. He's this 2-year-old kid, and he sits there with the cachet.
No,
of a
don't post the video
smoker.
Up. It's the most disturbing thing.
The most disturbing
you
thing.
You watch
I've
it,
seen.
And you just squirm. You're like, oh, this makes me really uncomfortable.
Actually, the more disturbing thing I've seen recently or this week was this like Bosnian girl who's throwing puppies into a river.
Jeff, what are you doing?
I sit in my at
You're
my desk.
You're killing
and
our
coworkers.
Show. This is a happy. All right, hey everybody, it's been a great week this week. Wondrous with an exclamation point, like you'd see in a hymn book. Now, why don't you be the naysayer, Jeff? Talk about killing puppies. Go ahead.
It's not the puppies and the bucket.
No. Unacceptable. I want happier news.
They throw the buckets with the bait.
Talk to me. You know what I did see this week? I saw a video of a cute little 2-year-old girl that was doing a dance at a daycare. Then everybody started dancing along with her. Like
Stop
it was
it.
A music video. It was brilliant. And I'm going to post that up to counter your smoking children and dying little animals.
But I love the dying animals. I need them.
You're like Beetlejuice.
How
was your week, Jeff? Was it wondrous?
You are a jerk.
Was it wondrous? Really?
I hate you so much right now.
Tell me about your week, Jeff. Tell me.
Fine, you want to hear about my wondrous week?
Yeah.
Well, for one, it was Labor Day, which was very nice. Have the day off.
Wait. Labor Day was this week?
Yes, fool. Yes.
Freak.
I know. Anyway, that was nice.
I meant to barbecue with the family on Labor Day.
Wednesday was a lovely day. Not that you cared at all.
What was Wednesday?
That's exactly what I'm saying. What was Wednesday,
Your birthday.
Al?
All right, of course.
And I don't even think you wished me a happy birthday.
I probably didn't. I was flying.
No, you
but
weren't.
I love you.
After everything I do for you, I will send you text. This is our problem. I am a loving person. I send sweet messages. I tell you how I feel.
What is your language of love, Jeff?
And I tell you how I feel. And
is it touch? Is it talk?
No, it's words of affirmation. Everyone knows
that.
Is
it time?
I like quality time. But we don't have that at all, so I have to deal with words of affirmation. That's all we have in this long-distance friendship of ours.
What happens
on your birthday? I text you. I sing you songs live on the radio.
The radio.
Of the podcast.
I do remember we did do that. show and, on my birthday.
And I like to think that we are good enough friends that I am. It's okay. A phone call isn't necessary because we're cool like that. But at least a text message, a happy birthday text message, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm going to be straight with you right now. I really didn't even know it was your birthday, but I put two and two together as we were talking just now.
Yes.
Jeff, I am sorry.
Not even a message. Because there's Facebook wall friends, and then there are text message friends.
Well,
you're
but
at
you
least
only
a text
know it's
message
my,
friend.
You only know it's my birthday because it pops up on Facebook, yes?
No, I know it's your birthday because both of our birthdays are on the 8th. That's why it's easy. Mine's September 8th. Yours is August 8th. It's very simple to remember.
Jeff, I think you've given too much information. Now people will steal our identities.
My social security number is 957-6973-257-35723.
Wow. That's almost three social security numbers in one.
I have the identity of three people.
I would love if somebody... Man, my identity's so hosed anyway. Like, so many... Well, because my school got broken into when I was a wee child.
And oh, so sure.
It's out there on the black market now. I've got all kinds of, like, Jorge Rodriguez child support in one state, and houses being bought in other states.
There's going to be a warrant for your arrest.
If
out
anybody
in California,
stole my identity, like that, I think it would be a worse move for them. They'd be a citizen of this country now.
Uh huh.
But they'd be a wanted citizen.
Well,
owe back child support.
Fine. Tell me your sob story of your identity theft all you want, but it doesn't take away from just the egregious error you have
committed.
What
did you do for your birthday,
Jeff? I see what kind of friend you regard me as now. Now I understand. Now I understand that we're nothing more than business associates.
We are.
And
we are colonels in an army of love.
Just a little bit in here hurts me.
Well, sorry. Maybe it's so much
that all I want is for you to love me.
However, you did get invited to be a guest on The Price is for a Bachelorette. The Mormon Bachelorette, not A Price is Right.
Well,
a Mormon
I don't
Bachelorette.
I don't know if that's actually true.
For your birthday, I made it happen for you.
Okay. Very good. We'll see if I hurt so deeply right now.
If
I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
So, my week...
Oh,
was,
sure. Let's talk more about you. Please.
Was significantly less exciting. I worked. So, anyway, let's go ahead and jump right
How
in.
Did you work? You don't even have a job.
You always bring that up. I'm an entrepreneur. I have work. It's just
so every entrepreneur says, I have a job. I'm working on things I want to do. I have a job.
I'm doing consulting.
Oh, you're doing that again. Consulting.
No, I'm actually not. I was just mocking all the jobless people that are instant consultants.
Do you, you've seen the demotivators calendars, right?
Yes.
I love the one for consulting that says, if there isn't money to be made in finding the solution, there is always money to be made in prolonging the problem.
Consulting.
Those things are brilliant. Some of them are better than others, but the demotivators calendars are a riot. I love those.
A riot. Yes.
This is the episode this week, huh? It's just going to be you making fun of everything. You already tore my heart out like the temple in Indiana Jones and then trampled on it. And
wait,
now
who's
going to mock me?
Who's the one killing puppies? That's all
Some
I have
girl
to say.
In Bosnia.
Tell us more, Jeff. Why don't you talk about
I would
dead
never
puppies?
Kill puppies. I love puppies. Love them
a little
so much.
Bit.
I just saw those little guys and I just wanted them to swim to shore. Just come on, little buddy. Just swim. And then they'd be okay. I like to think all of them used their gut instinct and swam to shore somehow.
None of them sank. They all swam. Perhaps. Oh, that was... All right.
Fine.
So
we do allegedly
this week,
have substantive
this week
things
we've
to talk
got
about.
We got a great agenda.
Oh,
I'll
please.
Give the rundown here.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
According to the theme of the week, Jeff's going to talk about Quran burning. And all things therein. I will talk about Mormons being great businessmen. Jeff is going to talk about growing barley to make beer. And then I'm going to talk about how the church saves convicts in Philadelphia. And then Jeff's going to talk about crushing seminary students' dreams of after-hour seminary. And then I'm going to talk about candy and chocolates. Jeff, take it away, buddy.
I hate you so much.
That was a pretty good agenda, you gotta admit.
It wasn't too bad. It was your first time doing it, so I'm gonna cut you some slack. You're not a seasoned veteran like me.
It's simply true.
At agenda giving. You see, a long time ago, if we can have an aside, when we decided to do the podcast, originally we had this conceived idea that Al and I would alternate on a lot of things as far as introductions to the show, sign-off, blah, blah, blah. But somehow it's evolved into... Sometimes I just worry. I don't want it to be like This Week in Mormons featuring me with Al.
All right, get off your ego and let's get this show on
the road. It's not my ego. I just don't want you... I don't want to be a Conan to your Andy Richter. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I love Andy Richter.
Go ahead. Have two failed sitcoms in a row. Enjoy yourself. And then come running back to Conan only to be part of his team that gets canceled for the lesser Jay Leno.
He's a wonderful man, not Jay Leno.
No.
Okay, all right, quit. So quit fine. Stalling. Let's do this.
I don't feel like being spiritual now. All right. Unless you've been living under a rock, you've been aware of good old Pastor Terry Jones down there in Gainesville, Florida, who, along with his 50 followers, has up until the end of this week, was planning to burn a bunch of copies of the Quran in protest to Islam in general, basically, to teach them a lesson, to show that we can offend them by burning their holy book. The beauty of this, of course, one, if you've seen the man, have you seen this guy, Al?
No. Oh, wait, I saw a picture of him standing next to, he's got a sign that's like the International Quran Burning Day.
I don't
truck.
Yeah, he's got this whole thing. He's got a gnarly handlebar mustache, and I have to represent. You have to respect that. You have to respect that. So he has that, but apparently he's called it off after the FBI and State Department officials and all sorts of people have pled with him not to do this for the sake of international security.
Wait, he did call it off?
He called it off, as far as I know. It could come back.
I saw in the paper that he was going through with it.
Is it going through now? This guy's just so noncommittal. Typical man. He just can't decide what he actually wants.
So?
Oh, sad world. Anyway, point is, they wanted to build this. They called it off. And as you might imagine, the church decided it had to get into the fray a little bit. So the church did release an official statement. It wasn't anything altogether surprising, but here's the actual text from Scott Trotter, spokesman for the church. It's brief. It says, quote, "A key tenet of our faith is to accord everyone the freedom to worship as they choose. It is regrettable that anyone would regard the burning of any scriptural text as a legitimate form of protest or disagreement." Close quote. So I don't think the upside here is I don't think the church, if you notice, is being super controversial. They're calling this regrettable to burn someone's scriptural text, but they are defending the freedom of religious expression, which you haven't actually seen from a lot of the other people in the government. So in this case, the church is preaching tolerance, sort of, for really stupid ideas. But sometimes we have to accept tolerance for really stupid ideas, because that's what we have to do as Americans.
I feel like there's a lot of double talk, Jeff.
Hey, I am what I am.
So... But we're against people burning Qurans, for the record.
Yes, I think it's a bad thing. But at least I applaud the church. By no means do I support the burning of the Quran. And I support the Islamic community. But I do support the notion that we as a church make a point to say we embrace the freedom to worship as we may. You know, have them worship what is that? It's an article of faith, right? Worship.
Right.
That's an important thing. And that's part of our belief in tolerance and in the American dream and what have you. Obviously, this is ill-advised, I would say. But it's kind of funny. This is the exact opposite. We've dealt with the cultural center supposed to go up in Manhattan. It's the same thing. It's saying, well, do we defend freedom of religion or not? And the funny thing is, in this case of a completely
peaceful
cultural
center. Aren't you just following in the footsteps of McKay Poppins here? He will never be Coppins to me. That's McKay Poppins.
Poppins is his name.
But
another side note. Have you seen the Scary Mary fake trailer on YouTube?
No, Jeff, don't take... No, this is a serious issue.
I'm just saying it turns Mary Poppins into a horror movie and everyone should see it. So back to the serious issue. It's really good. You'll love it. It's very well done. So the point of this, the Quran burning, it has been all over the news all over the this week, and I guess it could be a problem for international security in that it would infuriate Muslims and have drastic repercussions. So, given that 9/11 was this weekend, I guess that would be a bad thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. How do you feel about the possible Quran burning, dear Al?
Well, I wonder how big of an issue it would really be to have a crazy guy in Florida do something stupid. I mean, because we got a bunch of them. We got a bunch of crazies all over the place.
We do.
And I'm sure somewhere out there, there's a Book of Mormon being burned by some crazies right now. And are we offended? Like, are we rising up in arms? I don't think so. I don't think that the Muslim community would even... They'd be like, listen, look, America, we realize that Florida has kind of been written off since the 70s. Understood. Anything that happens there, we're not going to hold you accountable for. I feel like that would be kind of the common consent of all Muslims.
Yes, as Michael Scott from The Office calls Florida some sort of a lawless swamp. That's basically...
Exactly. Tallahassee just keeps going south. That's what
especially Northern Florida, man. I get that. Here's the problem. Everyone started covering this. If this guy would have come out and said he was going to burn Qurans and nobody paid him any attention, this would be exactly what we're saying. Just some random guy, you know, just some nutty guy who wants to go burn Qurans. And we're like, oh, brother, this is bad. But nobody would have known about it. Now we've given him all the attention he wants. He's some kind of a narcissist because I'm sure he was waiting for President Obama himself to call him and urge him not to do it. And now he's gotten all this coverage. And now the Islamic community has become upset about it. We should have just ignored the guy.
Well, so I'm glad the church threw out a statement. I like that we're kind of getting into this habit of throwing our hat in the ring with some of these issues as
yeah.
they come across. We have a very active newsroom now, it seems like.
Oh, we are all over the place. I mean, right after that it'll be like, you know, children in Linden sing songs to their families. We have a great diversity.
Okay, so we got some other stories too. Anyway, against burning the Quran, yes, yes, we are.
Bad idea. I support someone's constitutional right to do as they may, but bad form, shall we say? Bad form.
Bad form indeed. Okay, so this isn't a this week story. This is from about, I'd say, 5 weeks ago. But it was just brought to my attention. The CNBC.com site Street Signs is the show. They did a little spit on Mormon Mission Biz, is what they called it.
What does that even mean?
Well, let me tell you, Jeff. Well, so they just did a video piece. We'll post it up on the website for you to check out. But essentially...
Only yes? If I can post my 2-year-old smoking.
All right, we'll figure out... Maybe we'll post it on the website. Maybe
you
Jeff
owe me.
Will
you
veto.
Forgot my birthday. You owe me this.
Not the 2-year-old. Anyway, so they did a story on this, and essentially the whole piece is like they follow these missionaries. They go check out the MTC. They go follow a day in the life of a missionary, which obviously a day in the life of a missionary is like the. It's pretty darn intense. Well, and especially like if I had a film crew following me, it would be the most intense day of all time, and it'd be like, no, we wake up at 5, actually. We don't wake up at 6:30. We're 5 a.m. missionaries, which I don't know if you had this in your mission, but in our mission, it was like if you were righteous, you had to get up at 6. Like if you were really righteous, it was 5:30, but 6 if you were righteous, 6:30 if you were a slacker.
No, ours was 7 a.m. was the latest wake-up time. The standard wake-up time was 7 a.m.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah, but we ran later, you know, that whole Spanish lifestyle, so 7, but we didn't come until like 10:30 every night. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so anyway, they follow these missionaries, and they just talk about how there's a lot of prominent LDS people in business, and how they think that a mission is what is the catalyst that launches these people into their successful careers. Well, so... I say, you know, I think there's some merit to it. Yeah, there's some smart dudes, and you come out of a mission very motivated. Everybody comes home excited for school until that whole week is gone, and then they kind of slip back into their old life, a lot of them. But some of them use it as that catalyst and really get going in it. But my concern, though, is that CNBC, I think that they've tipped off the wrong people. There's Apex Security and Alarms, Pinnacle Security, DirecTV and Dish TV, all these summer sales people, the pest control people.
I hate them all.
They've found this truth to be self-evident that if you grab these poor Richard, lend me your ears, young man. If you grab these missionaries right as they come home, that you can like indoctrinate them with your terrible products and just send them out to do sales. But it's true. I mean, you're like this very nothing. You have no fear after you've sold religion for 2 years. You have absolutely any product.
Well, it's true that
that
one guy who I think was he with Goldman Sachs, the guy who's a sort of hedge fund manager that they interviewed.
Uh-huh.
That's the exact thing he said. He's like, you know, if you can sell this for 2 years, you can sell anything. So,
yeah. Well, that is true. Like that is how it's helped me in my business life. Is it's like, you know what? At least I'm not trying to change your religion. I can change your point of view on this sale that I need this. You know, you didn't sign off on this.
Sure.
But at least it's not religion. So anyway, not a huge story, but it's cool that we got on CNBC. It's good publicity for the church. Very positive video.
There's nothing better than people thinking that we are the next Jews as far as money.
that's right. That's right. The downside, though, is this trait, this great trait that we have that endears us to business people everywhere, is being cannibalized by cheap, dirty summer salespeople.
Is that trait our ability to knock on people's doors or speak foreign languages? Of which trait do you speak?
I speak of the trait, yeah, of knocking on people's doors and selling.
I guess it's kind of funny because, you know, as a missionary, they stress that the importance is not in being able to, you know, sell the line or this or that, because that's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to just genuinely testify with the Spirit. You know, you're not trying to sell people from a salesmanship point of view. So it is funny that those skills somehow still parlay into...
Well, the skill is getting over your fear of knocking on a door and talking to someone, right? Like it's not the soothsayer or the, you know, the silk tongue at all. It's the,
yeah,
the getting over that fear, which
that's
most 19
it, yeah,
to 21 year olds never are forced into a situation where they have to do that.
Agreed, sir. Very well said.
Thank you, Jeff.
Oh,
thank
very
you.
Well said, my friend. I liked it. It was a good piece. I mean, sadly, since it's video, there's not as much that we can directly say about it here from text.
Speaking of video, did you know, I'm going to slip this in right here. Did you know that the LDS Motion Picture Studio is seeking actors? Did you, Jeff?
That was I was going to know that later in the show, but now I know it now.
No, we can know it later.
No. You're there. Lay it on me. Let's just do it.
It was the best segue.
It was supposed
I could
to
foresee.
Be our funny sign-off stuff, but hey.
Well, listen. Listen,
I'm
Jeff.
Deaf. No, just hit it.
Do you look like the Apostle James? Would that woman at the bank make a great
Wait
Mary Magdalene?
Because we have like documentation of what James looked like.
Does your coworker remind you of a Roman centurion?
Soldier, sir, and they do. They're short. They're tiny Asian women for the most part in my office. And
does that Vietnamese guy at the post office remind you of Judas? Then we've got a role for you. Which this is hilarious because this is the actual lead. Well, the first half
that is actually the first pair, the first call to actors.
So apparently, we're refilming all the New Testament stories, and they're looking for actors. There's an open casting call. Filming will begin in 2011. So if you look at your coworkers and think this guy would have stoned the prophets, bring him along.
No, oh, yeah, if, you know.
He might fit right in. But it's cool they give a little clip. We should embed this. It'll be a video-heavy post. But they've got a little clip of the new Good Samaritan video. Looks pretty slick.
Okay.
They're not filming
until next year, but they have one done already.
Well, you gotta do the teaser.
You do have to do the teaser.
Obviously.
Well, we can post that. I can figure out a way to yank it. We can post it up there. It's going to be good. Yes,
which
this was supposed
to
be. So
Jeff, if you had to cast me as a New Testament character, who would I'm going to cast you as Paul. The Thank short you. Bearded man that sells tents. I could see you doing that.
Paul? No, I want to be Paul, formerly Saul.
That's the one.
Who says I sell tents?
Axe?
And who says I have beards?
Joseph Smith?
Who says... Paul is not represented with a beard in some of the Old New Testament videos.
Well, he needs one now.
Apparently. I love the... Right, that is Paul, right? When he sees, says the, you know, when the king says, you know, Paul, you often compel me to be a Christian.
Almost, I am convinced.
Right, and that's with Paul. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Find the old video of that. It's hilarious. It's the guy. It's one of the guys who I always forget his name, who plays Satan in the Temple movie, the older one.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Danny something is his name, I believe.
Have we posted up the picture of? Oh, we've got to. Of those two guys together.
Which two guys? The two Satans and the
Yeah. Have you seen that?
What do you mean together? Like a
There's a picture. I've got a picture of them like after a church meeting, just standing together like a candid shot that's just like a snapshot. Uh-huh. And it's so weird cuz you send it to people like the subject header has just been to the temple lately and you look at it you're like, "Where do I know them from?"
Well, what I love is because there's the older Satan played by what's-his-face who plays Paul in that scene, and he does not have a beard, and he's very over the top with his acting. Classic older 80s church videos, like way overwrought stuff. No, the other one, though, who I actually like as Satan, if we're analyzing, you know, temple movie acting, I like him because I picture Satan not as much as this really slick jerk. I picture him more like a brat. And the one in that film is more like a brat. Just like a petulant child.
Okay.
And I always loved him. Oh, sorry, that's a side note. So I appreciate his portrayal. But what I also think is funny is the guy who plays him also plays Peter in The Lamb of God.
No.
You know how it is. They're always jumping around playing different people here and there and there. There's that one guy, Ron, whatever his name is, who's in like every church movie now. The one who has the skullet a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah.
That guy? You know, he's in The Testaments. He plays...
Oh, he's really made a name for himself in the church.
That guy is in everything. He's in the Joseph Smith movies, in the Testaments. He's everywhere. I hope they pay him well for that.
Dude, look at this picture I just emailed you. Brilliant.
You emailed me the picture?
Yes.
Actual email?
That's right.
Okay, I'm just going to have to wait for it to show up then while our... I don't have anything now.
Well, it should be coming. It's wonderful.
Maybe it went to my junk mail. No, it didn't. This is a great waste of time right now.
Anyway.
Oh, well, casting call to everybody.
Huzzah. So you should go, and if you get into one, call us. We will follow the experience with you.
Yes, we will. Sure.
Which I'm excited to talk about our big reveal in maybe next week, because we have some great on-the-ground journalism stuff coming up. We're very excited for.
We do?
Yes, with your tape recorder in intimate moments.
Oh, and I just got your photo. Dude, that's hilarious.
Isn't that brilliant? We got to put that up. That's perfect.
When is that from? Because the younger Satan looks kind of old and like.
Well, it's been years, man.
I know, but the other guy was already old. He doesn't look a day older than when he portrayed Satan in the film.
He uses the Nivea cream.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
The other one just looks like some kind of biker.
He uses
TLC
Old
show,
Spice and Musk, so makes sense.
Okay. Well, hey, good for them. It is kind of a funny it is a good shot.
Isn't that brilliant? Because you look at it and if you didn't know, you'd be like, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So
I'll give him that any day of the week. We will post that for our wonderful viewers. And that might be the name of the show. Have you been lately? No, maybe not. All right. Briefly, since we've really just been talking about all kinds of just garbage today. Abstinent Mormon farmers grow barley for beer.
Finally.
What is this, you ask? Well, let's tell you about Idaho Senator Mike Crapo.
Boy, that guy had a tough run through high school, man. You know he did.
His name is probably Crapo, but I'm just going to call him Crapo. Anyway, he's a Idaho senator pushing a bill to cut federal taxes on small beer makers, and he's also LDS. And this more raises a question, because you see Mormon farmers throughout Idaho raise barley for Budweiser and Negra Modelo beers. And so even Mormons in the legislature killed a plan to raise the beer tax.
Is Negra Modelo, is that Dos Equis?
No, Negra Modelo is very confusing. So that's almost gender confusion. I don't know what they're doing with that statement. But anyway, point is, they talk about a tax cut. Yes.
If it was for Dos Equis, I would make an exception for any argument we're going to make here. But since it's not, continue.
So, I mean, look at this beauty. Idaho, who knew, is the number two barley-growing state behind only North Dakota. So something does happen in North Dakota. Little did we all know. I have a coworker from North Dakota, and we tease her relentlessly for knowing. She knows nothing of the world. She'd never heard of Depeche Mode, for one.
What's she doing in California?
Or the movie Hook. Who doesn't know the movie Hook?
Oh.
I know. I mean, she's young. She's only like 23. So
There's also an Idaho wine industry? Are you kidding?
Everyone loves Idahoan wine.
Wow.
Haven't you had it before?
Okay, keep going.
Or something. Anyway, the point of this is you have a lot of church members who grow barley that they then sell, of course, to Anheuser-Busch to make booze. So this raises the... Is there an ethical question here? This is what I want to get into. You know, is that an issue? Because we don't believe in drinking, their primary livelihood is growing a crop that is used to make alcohol. And it's not like they're just selling bulk barley and what, you know, who knows what will happen to it. I mean, they are direct selling to the beer manufacturers.
Well, that's a good point. My uncle he ran a grocery store, and he liked the store. It was in a small town, and he made the decision to bring in lotto tickets, and it was very controversial in town. Made the store a ton of money, but like, we all looked at him and we were just like, seriously? Can you do that?
Yeah, this one I have a harder time justifying. I remember on my mission there were a fair number of active members who owned bars.
Really?
Yeah, they owned bars, but you know, the church would say that, hey, they might own a bar, but they're not responsible for what people do with alcohol, even if they buy it. Because I guess they would say it's the same logic of someone who's LDS who manages or owns a franchise of a grocery store. People are going to buy alcohol.
I definitely agree with the statement the guy makes in here that you know, it's not his place to kind of force his beliefs on others. I don't feel like, we shouldn't like dictate what other people can do with their stuff, or, you know, whether or not they're allowed to buy it, yada, yada, yada. You know, it's kind of their jam. Let them do what they're going to do. But like, for us to actually be the ones that are selling it, or to be the ones that are like making it possible for them to enjoy it, I don't know.
It seems so direct. That's why I think it seems shadier.
Maybe sell your barley to a beer manufacturer? Would it be okay to offer, like, as a computer guy, could I offer my hosting to maybe a porn mogul?
See, that is the exact same point. I think you should write these Idaho legislators.
Well, I don't. Well, again, I don't know that it. Like, I don't know that it'd be bad. I mean, I need paying customers.
You are facilitating.
I need paying customers. I'm sure if there were other people paying more for the barley, they wouldn't sell it to the beer men.
Okay, fair enough. But see, I'm on the fence because, see, I am in a sort of similar position. Where at my work, we do plenty of work for beer companies.
Uh-huh.
And so this is a little more indirect, obviously, but the fact is we do research and work and consulting with beer companies to help them, you know, increase their market share and, you know, find more customers and this and that. So my work is helping beer companies to, hopefully, if we're doing our job, to increase their business. So I might be better than these farmers.
As a kid, I used to work. I'd work festivals in the area, like blues fests and stuff. And I had a guy that would always. He would only hire my guys to run his margarita tent because we wouldn't drink any of the stuff. Right? He knew that 100% of his product actually went to the customers because none of us would drink it. Was I corrupting young minds by having them sell the margaritas? I don't know.
Yes.
I think it's a great skill to know. I can whip up a tasty margarita.
Yeah, it does pay to be LDS in that regard. My sister told me many times when she went on choir tours, when she was the one selected to watch after people and drive cars and stuff, because they knew that she wasn't going to do anything. So
is it right, though? Jeff, I want you to make the call. Is it right?
I don't even know. When I took the job I have now, they even asked me if it was a problem for me to do the beer work. And the funny thing is, I don't feel too weird about the beer work. That could be because I sabotage our results to reflect poorly upon them. But really.
Right.
Because it's funny, because if we had cigarette clients, I would have an issue with that.
Would you really?
Yeah. But I think our company does, just in general. We don't have any tobacco clients, and that's intentional. So. No one likes the boo. No one likes that, but everyone loves the booze. Love, love, love the booze.
Why is that different?
I don't even know. I think it's because, especially in California, alcohol is alcohol, and I do hate this because I think alcohol is a far bigger scourge on society than we let it be. You know, we really demonize cigarettes. We demonize marijuana when alcohol is a far bigger source of problems, of domestic violence, of drunk driving accidents and the like. So I do think it's funny that alcohol, I mean, sure, other than not selling it, you know, it's a thriving market.
Yeah.
And we don't tax it like we do cigarettes. It just cracks me up. These are my own politics, and especially this is because California's got a proposition on the ballot to fully legalize marijuana. I would love
to hear people weigh in on this, man, because I'm totally on the fence too, where it's like,
yeah,
you know, well, because there's some issues. I'm the same way, where there's some I'd say no, like porn and that kind of stuff. I'd be like, no, not going to happen. I'm not going to facilitate this. But cigarettes, alcohol, you know, if I owned a retail shop, would I sell them? I don't know. That'd be a completely different conversation for me.
Yeah, I guess it would depend on your market. It would depend on, you know, because if I owned a grocery store, I wouldn't care what I sold, really.
Yeah.
But if I owned some small little shop, you know, it's hard because especially alcohol is big business. It is. You know, there's no other way to look at it. You make good money.
It is true.
But still, I don't know. Mormon farmers, you might need to rethink. You are enablers.
You weigh in. You be the judge. Let's hear your comments.
Let's hear from all of you.
Okay, so one of the things we meant to get to last week, but we didn't have time, we wanted to bring it up this week, is that in association with the Philadelphia Temple being approved.
Yes. Oh, I love this story.
Being in association with that being all just smiled upon and stamped with approval and sent on its way, there's also a story where the Mormons, the LDS Church, has contributed $300,000 to the Philadelphia Prisoner Reentry Program. So the mayor says, "We did not ask, but we gladly accepted." So this is totally the church greasing the wheels of government to make this happen. And just saying, listen, you let us put a Jesus building in, we're going to make this program a reality. And so, first, I love that they're like sponsoring programs in the city and like charitable endeavors in order to get our building in. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, we're putting convicts on the street to have our temple
built. That's exactly right. Like, this is a great one to be sponsored.
Basically, what this translates to, it's like we're gonna early release convicts so that they can come and.
So if you let us put our building right downtown, we're gonna let more of these ex-cons out onto the street so they can come and give us trouble. I think it's brilliant, awesome.
Well, it's with this the Office of Reintegration Services for Ex-Offenders, known as RIE. And it does say only 3% of RISE's clients are returned to prison within 3 years of their release. So,
but how many of them are members of HOOP?
Of all the references on a show like ours,
news conference Wednesday, Nutter joked, since we've not had any money since we've been in office, a reference to Philadelphia's budget crisis, being able to announce a budget increase for the city's program was a novelty. So, like, this has just been at a standstill for who knows how long, and the church just comes in and says, you know that program that you loved 2 years ago but you couldn't get it going? We'll make that go.
Yeah. They are like our Pip, and we are like Miss Havisham.
Exactly. So anyway, just a nice little aside, something we think is entertaining.
I can't wait to see what happens with this. Now I can't wait for the article in about, you know, 2 years when Mormons cause crime wave.
Mormon funded ex-con slashes family.
Yeah, that's gonna become, that's gonna happen.
One, I wonder if that's like a missionary work ploy. If they're like, all right, before we release you, we have a few words from our sponsors. And like, hi, I'm Elder Jones. How are you?
That before would be we so let awesome you out. If that were a clause in all of this, if they had to allow that would be awesome.
Go forced through all six
forced
discussions.
Forced missionary discussions. They don't really have six discussions anymore.
Hey, Alma would have loved it because it's, what do you say? The burying of testimony has more effect on the soul. It's true. It is true.
It's so true. I love this story, and I was about to say I love this story, and I hope it all goes crazy, but that would mean I'm hoping that a crime wave hits Philadelphia and it's the church's fault. So, no, I don't.
Stay at 3%. Drop down to 1.5%.
Don't really hope that. No, the 3% is just those who go through the program, yeah, that actually go back to jail, which is a pretty good turnover, that's a very nicely low return rate.
Yes, thank you.
Because it says the national average of convicts who return to jail is 67%, so...
Ugh. You hate to see that
3%. Look what Philly is doing, because they send all of them to Wilmington, Delaware.
Monsters.
Because Wilmington is not a nice place, it's my understanding. Well, folks, one last story here. Wanted to get to this one last week, but with all of our bachelorette bonanza, we had to set it aside. However, here it is. First, take this with a grain of salt. This is the governor... Caroon, yes, Mr. Caroon, Peter Caroon, who is the Democratic candidate for governor in Utah. So starting out, you know this means that this is never going to happen because he's not going to win, because that would involve a Democrat becoming governor of Utah. So take it with a grain of salt.
Okay, understood.
However, Caroon, now the funny thing is I actually like this proposal. This guy has his education proposal, and it would require an additional math course and science course for students to graduate from Utah, and therefore they could take fewer elective courses. What this would mean to LDS students is that they would not be able to go and do their release time seminary education, which is taken as one of their electives right now. Yes, friends, the horror of it all. Our dear Utah friends might have to live like the rest of us did. But it's never going to happen because this guy won't become governor.
No.
First off, I love the sad thing. I always thought it's funny that they use up an elective to do seminary, because I've always thought, like, doesn't that just totally take away the chance you have to take a real school class of something? I don't want to say seminary is not valuable, but, you know, to take something... more noteworthy? I don't think it's a bad idea to require students to take more math and science, because the United States lags immeasurably behind a lot of the world when it comes to math and science now. So I think that's a worthy endeavor, actually. And I'm an education expert. I actually have a degree in education.
You are also a liar.
I know. I have a degree in education. From the School of Hard Knocks, Al, I have my own website. It's called Hard Knock Education.
Hard Knock Education? What do you write on there?
I decided that it wasn't worth my time to actually go to graduate school and get a PhD in education. So I'm taking it upon myself to earn my PhD in education from the School of Hard Knocks.
That's probably smart. You know, I actually did a similar thing where I was against graduate programs because I think an MBA is a bunch of baloney.
What? Really?
That's right, Jeff. I sure do.
You're kidding me.
And I've actually it's proven pretty much true. What I've learned, so I do actually run a website around me getting my education in an unorthodox manner. But what I've learned is that it's all about the drive. If you want it and you aren't in school, you're going to achieve it. If you want it and you're in school, you're going to achieve it. It's just that 20% that actually want to succeed and have the motivation to do it. And then no matter where you are, you're going to end up working at McDonald's, Wendy's, or Walmart.
It's true. I've seen The Pursuit of Happiness. Right,
you've pursued it.
Okay.
Anyway,
touching film. So all I have to say to this is I want Karoon to become governor because he seems to actually get this, people, be speaking common sense when it comes to education.
No, but policy. That kills it though for the rest of the country who's all been hoping that Release Time Seminary would come to their state.
Yeah,
Alabama. What are you going to say to Alabama? Alabama,
First off, they would laugh at us because there are no Mormons in Alabama.
And, what would you say to North Dakota and their barley-growing ways?
And we know from our very first show that there is a temple in North Dakota.
It's
true. If you remember when Rick Satterfield corrected you.
I do remember that.
Speaking of another one, Rich. Do you remember Rich, our favorite fan?
Yes.
I just want to call him out. Where have you been, Rich? Do you still listen to us? Do you care anymore?
He said that he listened, but he rarely commented it on, I don't know. Yeah, Rich, where are you at?
We kind of wonder if you're still a part of the team. So if you're around, please comment on this episode. I've thought of emailing you, Rich, because when you post comments, we know what your email address is, just us privately. But I thought that would be overstepping my boundaries, so I haven't done it.
As a show host? I think you should. I think you should email everybody individually to comment.
Everybody post comments. Thank you for your comment. Really appreciate it. All right. I think we're going to call it now.
We're both like, anyway.
I'm done.
It's been a great week.
It has. So, lovely week, everybody. Hope you all have a wonderful week. Hooray for September.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Shut up.
I love you.
You think you can make up for this? You think you can make up for this complete oversight on your part?
Sir, no, sir.
So oversight, lack of oversight. I'm having a hard time thinking of proper sequences of.
All right, well, everybody, I hope you have a great week.
Oh, what, you're signing off the show now, too?
For Jeff, this is Al.
Oh, have a great week, everybody.
See you later.
Oh, fine. Once again, you know the websites, Facebook, This Week in Mormons, Twitter, at The Real Twim, thisweekinmormons.com, where we have tons of visitors and people intermingling with us. So go there. And that'll be all.
Bye, Al.
Have a great week. Remember people who care about you.
All right. I'll do it.
Okay.
See you,
Jeff. That'll be it, everybody. Bye, buddy. And this has been another edition of Twim. Well, they blew up a chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house, too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble out on the promenade, and the gambling commission's hanging on by the skin of its teeth. Well, now everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday.